From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week, my guest is Rob Myers. He produces beats for electro, funk, and soul group Fort Knox 5 and Thunderball, plays sitar with Thievery Corporation and International Velvet, guitar with DC reggae sensation CI, and along with his cohorts runs Fort Knox Recordings out of Washington, D.C. This is a very busy, extremely prolific artist, and it's a pleasure to have him on the program. Let's get right to it.
I'm 44 right now, so 1972, I was in Laos. My father was Foreign Service, and I remember wanting to play the saxophone, and my fingers were too small, so in second grade, I started on the clarinet. And then when I grew up, when I got a little bigger, I moved to the saxophone, and then, you know, did the whole piano thing, and finally, during the 80s, we were in Spain, and that's where I picked up guitar, so which was a perfect place to pick up the guitar, because in Spain, like, your average house cleaner is, like, knows how to play at least three songs on the guitar. It's amazing how many, like, people in Spain of all walks of life are just facile at the guitar. At least this was, you know, during the 80s.
It sounds like you did a lot of traveling as a child. Has that sort of influenced you and become ingrained in you, the sounds of these different cultures wherever you were?
Mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely fundamental on one level, which was because a lot of people pick up the sitar and they have all these preconceptions about it. And I was just interested in the instrument itself. And I think it's helpful that my early childhood, when, you know, I was really young in Thailand and Laos, where you're first forming how you can perceive the world, that my perceptions of music were not Western based, because they would have the gamelan bands and, you know, all these different percussion instruments that would play music. Mm-hmm. And so I have no preconceptions of how music is supposed to sound. I'm just following more tone and harmony and not structures of Western or Eastern musics.
So it sounds like you were learning in a completely organic process. When you first picked up the sitar, had you been introduced to maybe a traditional sitar player like Ravi Shankar, or were you listening to maybe pop music that had borrowed the sitar from Eastern cultures?
No, ironically, I mean, I got the sitar because I was in a punk band in the 90s called Mud, and Discord Records, the indie label here in D.C., which is actually based about two blocks from here, Beecher Street in D.C., was helping put out the record, and my drummer was from India, and his dad would always bring back instruments, and one day he called me, he's like, "My dad's in New Delhi, do you want anything?" And I said, "Yeah, bring me a sitar." And I was just intrigued because I'd been told that it was so difficult. So I was intrigued that there was this instrument that so many people thought was so difficult. And so I was just going to attempt to tackle it. And that was really it, because I'd heard Ravi Shankar and I enjoyed the tone of the instrument, but I had no... It wasn't like I was drawn to the music of the sitar. I was really drawn to the fact that it was supposed to be this difficult thing, and I was just going to try it out.
Yeah, because the sitar is so common in punk music. Tell me about the music scene in D.C. You know, there's Fugazi that has really been just a major impact on the city. You know, so you got your punk scene, and you're also involved in this funk and electronic scene. What's sort of going on in D.C. maybe right now, or also at the time when you first were getting into bands?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because when I came back to D.C., it was just for my senior year of high school, and I happened to get plunked at Wilson High School during the mid-80s, and so it was just all punk rock, and literally, I mean, so many people from that senior year in high school are the people that I'm still in touch with, whether it's, you know, Steve Raskin, who, you know, I play with Fort Knox 5 and Thunderball, and has been my, you know, we've done graphic design together and been in bands together since we were kids, or Eli Janney from Girls Against Boys, or Bobby Sullivan, who I played in a band with, and, you know, he was in Lunch Meat and all these other punk bands, and it was all meeting these people in that 1 year and just kind of forming a friendship with this scene that's kind of lasted for, geez, 20 plus years now. It's amazing.
And this is just a mishmash of all sorts of styles then, as it's evolved from maybe the punk aesthetic.
Yeah, it's exactly. And I mean, you know, as you grow, when you're 17, punk music, you know, comes naturally, and loud, really fast music comes naturally, and it's glorious. It will never change. Punk will always be that. But those same musicians, as they mature and as they grow older, are, you know, they're going to slip out of punk, you know, unless you're Green Day, who managed to keep it together and quite punk. I rather like Green Day. But you'd have to say, you know, if you started out as punk 20 years on, if you're still an instrumentalist, it's going to expand beyond that.
How'd you go from punk bands playing organic instruments to producing beats to getting into electronic music?
Well, there was something that happened in the 90s. Basically, my punk band disbanded, and I pretty much gave up on music. And that's actually where the sitar came in, because I was like, you know what, I've been playing guitar so long, I'm just going to give up on music and pursue the sitar for, you know, for the rest of my life, basically. It's, you know, supposedly complex. Let me take on something that, you know, will still be challenging me 30 years from now. And so that's when I started focusing on the sitar. And then all of a sudden, Steve, who was in his punk band, Edsel, came back from recording in England. And while he was there, he went to the dance club Cream. So, you know, he went to Cream during the heyday in the 90s and came back with this whole new music, and we started going clubbing, and I really felt revitalized by electronic music, because growing up I was so into punk music and specifically heavy metal when I was a kid, because especially as a guitar player, that's the stuff you gravitate to. You know, I still listen to that stuff, and it still makes me just really happy and excited.
Sure.
And it was interesting, because in the mid-90s, all of a sudden this electronica music comes out, and it's like, you know, Loose Caboose and all these amazing, like, dance tracks. And I felt like I was a kid again. I was like, I really like this music. And fortunately, I was away from all my other rock friends or whatnot at that point, having given up. And so I wasn't prejudiced in any way towards really kind of following electronica music and going out to clubs with Steve and Sid and just enjoying dance music. And Steve and Sid at that point were making beats and doing stuff for Thunderball. And one day Eric Hilton comes in, he's starting this new label, and Steve and I had a design company, and Steve and Eric did the artwork on the, you know, the first Thievery Corporation album, and Steve plays him some Thunderball stuff, and Eric's like, you know, I hear a lot of stuff, I don't usually say yes, but I like this music, I'm gonna, you know, would you like to put it out? And that was the start of that. And at the same time, he's like, you know, I've been looking for a sitar player. And Steve was like, well, Rob's been practicing the sitar, and literally the second session from, you know, that was Lebanese Blonde, and it all just kind of slowly took off from the mid-90s, and it's just been this incredible organic thing with Thunderball and Thievery Corporation just continually putting out music, enjoying little successes, small victories,
and some big ones too, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I mean, Thievery has certainly had gargantuan victories.
Lebanese Blonde from Thievery Corporation. That's my guest, Rob Myers, on sitar.
And now tell me, what is the sort of genesis of Fort Knox 5, which is your new big project?
There was a point with Thunderball and ESL Music where we were making tracks, but we were also really heavily into the dance floor. And a lot of the stuff that we were making was just not Thunderball. The Thunderball music, if I was to typify it, should have a cinematic scope to it. It can be pounding, it can be intricate, it can be, you know, glitchy, but it should have a little bit of beauty and a little bit of a cinematic feel to it. That's just the way Thunderball is. So we were making tracks that were definitely oriented just for the floor. And we wanted to be able to put them out. We wanted to be able to put them out fast and not have to, you know, worry about passing them to a label for approval or, you know, to wait for releases. And that's the genesis of Fort Knox 5. At the time, you know, you've got Sid and Steve and myself, which is Thunderball, and then John H., who'd kind of come into our enclave as a DJ friend, and we just all worked well together and covered each other's bases. And since we all wear different hats doing design and operating the telephone and doing all the other things that really make putting out records possible, we all fit together as a foursome. And, you know, that was the genesis of it.
Now, not only were you making music, then, as you alluded to, you decide to start a label. Where does that come from? Where does the need to start a label come from?
I think that goes straight to Discord Records and growing up in the DC punk scene, because that's, as a musician in DC, that is your God-given right, is to start your own label. Everyone we know has. Some have been successful. I mean, obviously Discord is remarkably successful considering how many years it's been going, and the fact that a song like Fugazi's Waiting Room is now up on iTunes and, you know, a consistent seller.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we saw all of our friends basically starting labels. And as graphic designers, we'd actually been a part of a lot of these different labels doing logos and album graphics. So we were really in touch with them as friends, but also on the kind of internal business side of things, which is really what it takes to run a label. It has nothing to do with music at all, and everything to do with understanding a little bit of business and hitting certain deadlines and basically making things, product. And so we weren't idealistic in a stupid way, because we had all these friends that had already, you know, succeeded or failed in their own attempts to start record labels. So when we started our own, we knew what to do pretty much.
Are you actively trying to recruit artists to the label? What is your responsibility, I guess?
Our responsibilities are all shared. We all have different responsibilities. I mean, right now, I'm staring at the computer screen making a graphic for the Bhangra Punch single that's going to be coming out in the next week or so. Sid's working on the website. Steve is breaking out parts for remixes on the music machine. John's on the telephone booking, you know, the next Fort Knox 5 tour, and also helping with the Thunderball release, which is coming up. You know, we all have these different roles that are outside of the music.
Shift. Shift from Fort Knox 5 featuring Afrika Bambaataa. Pretty amazing guy, right? That dude did Planet Rock. Anyway, let's wrap up my interview with Rob Myers.
As if playing with Thievery, producing for Fort Knox 5, and running a label wasn't enough, you've also got a dub and reggae project that's CI.
Yeah, well, and that's really, you know, the project that's closest to my fingers, because with Thievery, I'm playing sitar and guitar, and it's phenomenally fun, and, you know, it's incredible to play for very large audiences and very, very loud, which I like. But the music is, the beats are coming from a DJ. And with Thunderball, the beats are coming from a DJ. And with Fort Knox, the beats are coming from a DJ. Although we've just started incorporating a live drummer with a live show. Mm-hmm. So what I was really missing in my life as a guitar player was a band where I was playing, you know, just with the band.
Yeah.
And so every Wednesday night for the last 3 to 4 years, CI has been playing 18th Street Lounge. Basically, it grew from this small little back porch thing on Wednesday nights to this consistent affair where all these celebrities and stuff would come through to the 18th Street Lounge. And Roots and Z, who are the primary singers in CI, and it's really their band, and they've had it for a long, long time. It's only just in the 4 years that it started, you know, ballooning for some reason. They've just got a great sensibility as singers, and we've used them with Fort Knox 5 and Thunderball as well. And it's fun to be part of their band because they've got stuff to bring live and then also tracks to do in the studio, all these things that can go in all these different directions that, you know, I find very appealing.
That's fantastic. So with all this going on, I have no idea how you keep what you're doing straight at any time. what's the next big project for you? Is it a Fort Knox tour? Is it more work with Thunderball CI? Do you have to go out with Thievery again? What's sort of the big thing on your plate?
Well, the big thing we just finished is the Thunderball record, 12 Mile High, literally just hit return on the artwork going out for the promo at noon, 11:59 today. So the promo CDs are coming out, and for Sid, Steve, and myself, that's just been this all-encompassing project for the last 6 months. And I mean, writing albums has become this thing that, I don't know, we've been doing it so long, and it's not like you get bored with it, or at least from my perspective. I just feel like you're always searching, and it's a pleasure. It's an honor to be able to work at something you love and to make something like a record album and try again to make a really, really good one, because, you know, it's those really, really great albums that when I was growing up and listening to, you know, those are the ones that are on my, you know, my iPod still. And I want to create one of those great albums someday, you know, and it feels good to put one out that's an evolution sonically and in terms of temperament. So that's been the really big thing, is the new Thunderball record. But then we've got, you know, CI's album is in the works right now, and Thievery Corporation, we're going on the road in October into November with Massive Attack.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be Massive Attack and Thievery all across the United States, and that, who knows, it's going to be nuts.
Why don't you take a nap, buddy? You're making us all look like schlubs here.
Dude, I sleep whenever possible.
Rob Myers, thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time, and hey, keep pounding the beat.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes out to Andy Cerruti with Fort Knox Recordings and, of course, my guest, Rob Myers. The new Thunderball album will be out soon. We'll be sure to keep you posted at theUNS.com. Next week on the program, Eric Hilton of Thievery Corporation is my guest. We'll talk about his music as well as his new movie, Babylon Central, which is out now on DVD. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theUNS.com. Catch you next week.